Can everybody quickly close their eyes? Just imagine this with me. You are standing on some mountains. It's a bit of an overcast, some clouds in the air. You're looking over the ocean. You're standing on top of mountains. You can see the rain coming in, not heavy rain, just light rain coming in over the ocean. And standing there and realizing that all of this was created by God. The mountain that you're standing on, the ocean put in place, the clouds coming over, the rain falling from the clouds. It's just a picture I saw now while we were worshiping and just realizing, man, how big is He? How beautiful is what He created? You guys can open your eyes and there's a Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands." Oh man, and just to be reminded of what He has created. Reina also just said, like, He doesn't need our money, man. He created everything by just speaking, and He created all of that. It's just this beautiful. I'm quite overwhelmed of this picture, but I'm gonna jump into being rooted like a tree, or being blown away like chaff. So, have you ever felt that you are blessed? Like, I'm not talking about finances and the home you're staying. I'm just feeling like the favor and the abundance of the Lord on your life. Has that ever occurred to you? Have you ever, like, I can say what Reina shared this morning came from a place of He has felt blessed in His life because He has felt the favor and the abundance of the Lord on His life. So, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever looked at someone and thought by yourself or even said it like, "Yo, Evan is a blessed guy." Sorry, that was super unnecessary. Jock is such a blessed guy. Have you ever thought of that? Now, in English and in Afrikaans, we don't distinguish between the two unless you think like, "Yo, that guy has a good life," or you think of yourself and think, "Yeah, but God has blessed me." That's the how we differentiate between those two thoughts, because it's different. It's different between thinking of yourself and thinking of... But in the Hebrew, like, I'm no Hebrew specialist or anything. I've studied this a little bit. I had to go read up and stuff like this to find this out. I didn't just know it. There are two words that actually has these two different meanings. The first one is... I'm going to try and pronounce it for the sake of the word, is Baruch, I assume. And that means I am blessed. But then there's this other Hebrew word, Ashrei, I assume you pronounce it, which means that, "Yo, that guy has a good life. That guy is blessed." And looking onto someone's life and going, "He has the favor and the abundance of the Lord on his life." And it's a beautiful thing to look at someone and realize that the favor of the Lord is on that person. And there's obviously a reason for that. And that's what I want to look at today is a little bit. We're going to jump into Psalm 1 now. But before we do that, just... The book of Psalms, the whole book as a collection, wasn't written by one person. I know David wrote quite a few. He wrote, I think if I remember correctly, something about 70 or so of the Psalms. But then the rest of the Psalms, there are 150 in total, the rest of them were written by a bunch of other people. All poems and songs and prayers to God. The rest of the books, especially in the New Testament, are letters written to different churches. But this psalm, or all of the psalms, are written to God from different poets, songwriters, and so forth. And they weren't, it wasn't like they had like, you know, we get the lead book in some churches, the literary book. It wasn't like that. It was over different time periods, different people in different regions, writing and proclaiming something to God, giving over to God. And later on, it was compiled as Psalms. In Psalm 1, I'm going to read Psalm 1 for us, and then I'm going to dive into a few of the verses specifically. So Psalm 1 reads as follows. 6 verses. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And reading that psalm made me realize that I have a doing in this. I have a responsibility that is on me. Do I walk or sit or stand with the wicked and the sinners and the mockers? Or do I actually find delight in the law of the Lord, which in this case referred to the Torah, the 5 first books of the Bible? But we have the whole book. We have the whole Bible today. And interesting enough, the first 5 Psalms are written, or actually not just the first 5, sorry. The Psalms are also given as a prayer. I'm going to read, otherwise I'm going to missay this now. The first 5 Psalms are given as a prayer of people who loves God for his kingdom to come on earth. So the original people, before the Psalms, they only had the Torah, and they had to study the Torah, and they had to know the Torah, and that was the law of the Lord. But as time went by, they started writing back to God, and they started giving back to him, and realizing that there's this relationship between them and God. So verse 1 says, blessed is the one. And that blessed there is the blessed of Ashrei. It's not the blessed Baruch or Baruch. It's not I am blessed. It's that person has a good life because, we're going to get to the because. It says the one who does not walk, stand or sit. And those verbs progresses in this poem. First, I walk with people. I mean, you get to walk with all different people in your life, in your work, in your family. You walk with people. You walk past them. You are at different ceremonies with them, or you've got things going on in your life. You get invited to a birthday, and you walk past them. And some of those people might have different beliefs or different values. And the Bible says here, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, meaning that you choose not to keep on walking with them. It's okay if you sometimes are in conversation with people who do not believe the same as you. But we choose to not keep on walking with them. Because if we keep on walking with them, that walking will become standing still. And then I will build a relationship with those people. And as I build a relationship with the wicked, then I will start sinning with them. And sinners biblically refers to missing the mark. Missing the mark. And what is the mark of the mark in the Bible that we read of? It is following God's law. It is loving other people. So if I don't love other people, if I spend my time with other sinners, I'm going to start thinking like them. I'm going to start making the same jokes as they do. And then, as I get comfortable, I'm going to sit in that company. And I don't want to get out of that company because it's comfortable here. Because they make jokes and I make jokes and we laugh together and we have a good time. But the Bible says the blessed does not sit in the company of mockers. What is a mocker? It's somebody that who can't even appreciate goodness or beauty anymore. Someone that's cynical and not ignores wisdom, but he opposes the wise. Now, verse 2. So that's the difficult part of your. Who do I then walk and sit and stand with? But the poem doesn't stop there. It goes on. It says, blessed is the one whose delight, verse 2, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Why? Because he meditates on it day and night. And what does it mean to meditate on the law of the Lord? Does it mean I read my Bible, I read Psalm 1, I close my Bible, and off I go? Is that meditating? No. And the beauty of God and the beauty of His kingdom, it's the upside down kingdom. Meaning that everything in God's kingdom works the other way around than what it works or how it works in the world. So if you see something in the world, like for instance, people bragging about money, God's kingdom is the other way around. We don't brag about money. We give it back to God because it's not ours. If the world says, meditate so that your mind becomes empty, God says, meditate on my word so that your mind is filled with my word. And the beauty of that, meditating on the Word of God is an active thing. It's not sitting in a corner in a silent room or some ambient music and trying to think of nothing. It's actually, I wrote down a few things of what it can be and what it could look like for us. It's reading the Word of God. First of all, that's a good start for you to actually meditate on the Word of God. So you open up your Bible. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, it doesn't matter when you do it, as long as you do it. It doesn't matter how long you do it, as long as you do it. Some days it will be a verse, other days it will be a chapter, and if you have the time, you can just do a whole book. Why not? Some of us likes reading more than others. So for other people, some people, reading a whole book is easier. And that's fine. If you are like anything like me, reading a verse or a chapter is more than enough. And you meditate on that. I don't just read it and forget about it and leave it. I meditate it on a day and night. Meaning, if I read it, I read it to understand. When I read Psalm 1, I read it and I read it again and I read it again. And I was like, Lord, you are showing yourself to me through this. And I started understanding that I have a choice. Do I walk and stand and sit with the wicked? Or do I choose to delight in your word? But then I need to actually meditate on it. So I started understanding what Psalm 1 meant as I read through this 6 verses a couple of times. I read through it. And I prayed about it. You know, you can pray scripture. Sometimes we sit there and we go like, Lord, I've got nothing to pray about. If you've ever felt like that, praise the Lord. Then read scripture and pray scripture. Open up your word, open up your Bible and start praying scripture. And then as we meditate and we fill our mind with the word of God, we are transformed. We do not stay the same. That moment I had this week with my child was because I was reading the word and I had an understanding of my responsibility as a parent. And I was open to the Lord speaking to me, even when I wasn't reading the word physically, but my mind was filled with the word. And in that moment, God spoke to me. And he said to me, you need to raise your child in my identity. Just muttering it to yourself, speaking it to yourself. If you live alone, that's quite easy. If you are married, just give your spouse a heads up. And then sometimes it's as practical as applying it. Sometimes we read something in the Bible and we can just apply it. For instance, tithing. We read it, we apply it. So when it comes to meditating on the Word of God, there's an active meditating. It's not sitting still and emptying our minds. It's filling our minds with the way of the Lord. And another beauty in the scripture for me that came out was, I'm still on verse 2 here. It says, those who delight, whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. The word delight means there's a great pleasure, there's a satisfaction. a happiness that comes from something. And then the law of the Lord. So whenever we hear the word law, it's quite a strong word. We think of government, we think of you should do this, we think of a list of stuff. But the beauty is here, there's a delight in the law of the Lord. Although it's this authoritative thing, it's the way of life. There's a beauty in it because it is light. It is delightful if we walk and if we follow in the ways of the Lord. Again, that upside down kingdom. The law is a heavy, authoritative thing, but when it comes to God and his kingdom, it's the other way around. It's light and we walk in it. You can't tick boxes when it comes to the Lord. You bear fruit, you yield fruit, and that's the third verse. That person, the blessed person, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. And how many times do we read in the Bible of trees being used to describe a scenario, to describe something? I took out two examples. I didn't put up the verses, just in Psalm 92. It compares the righteous people to a palm tree and cedar trees, emphasizing their strength, beauty, and longevity. And in Romans 11, Paul uses the image of an olive tree to illustrate salvation and unity between believers, both Jewish and Gentile, being crafted into one another. And then Jesus, in Matthew 7, we're going to read 17 there. So this is Jesus also using a tree as an illustration. He says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Are you a tree planted by living waters? Or are you like chaff that's blown away in the wind? Verse 4 says, the wicked is not planted by, is not like a tree planted by water. It says, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Sid, we've got that video. I mean, I don't know who of you understands what this really means to be blown away like chaff. So we've got a few second video just to illustrate this for us. Those things that was blown away, that's the chaff. Like, it's not it. That wasn't the storm. It was like a light breeze. You don't need much to be blown away if you are like chaff. So if you are mingling and surrounding yourself with the wicked, mockers, and sinners, you will become like chaff. Be blown away with the lightest, slightest wind. And I mean, if you go read up a little bit, the word chaff actually gets used quite a few times in the Bible. And it's because of the way that they lived. The people had an understanding of how light and useless chaff is. It had no use. That's why they just let it blow away. And again, Jesus, we read in Matthew 3, verse 12, where John the Baptist, he says, he's speaking of Jesus, and he says, his winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Jesus, he's speaking about Jesus here. Jesus will come, a winnowing fork. Those of you who don't know, I had to Google it, because we don't live in that age, unless you come from the farm. It's those long, almost like a pitchfork, that has like mostly only like two little fingers coming out, and they will stick it into the wheat, and then they will throw the wheat from one heap to another. And as they throw the wheat, the chaff will blow away. And that is cleaning. That's how Jesus will be cleaning his he says his threshing floor. Again, just that was in context of how they would do it. But for us to know that we don't want to, I don't want to be chaff. I don't want to be blown away by the wind, surely not by a breeze. And verse 5 and 6 says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Like the tree, the wicked will not be able to stand like a tree in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And that's one day when we get to Jesus, one day when we get to heaven. We can't decide who's going and who's not going, or who's going where. Let me rather rephrase that. We don't decide that. God decides that. He's the judge. But we make a choice now. On earth, where do I want to go? And verse 6 says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And then just verse 6 refers back. You know how a poem works, right? We read through the poem, and then one verse shows back to another verse. You all done that in school. So verse 6 shows back to verse Sorry, let me just go. What is it? Three. Whatever they do prospers. Verse 3 ends off with whatever they do prospers. And verse 6 says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. That prosper doesn't mean I'm going to have the biggest house. I'm going to have the best car. I'm going to have the nicest clothes. No, no, no. That prosper means that you are following the will of the Lord because you are filling your mind with His law. And if you do that, you will prosper. You will yield fruit as you walk. As you walk, you will know between right and wrong because you'll be convicted by the Holy Spirit. So are you walking, standing or sitting down with the wicked? Question you can ask yourself. Question you can ask your spouse, your friends around you, who you know are believers. Sure, guys, those jokes that we've made the last week, are they honoring? Do you verbally break down someone? Because it's a joke. Do you think it's funny when someone else says something about someone else? And there are jokes. Okay, I'm not saying we can't make jokes, but are the jokes honoring that you are making? Do you have anything good to say about people? Or do you laugh behind their backs? Because I want to say, you need to then watch where you are walking. If you are laughing behind people's backs because of what they did, of what they said, then you need to watch with who you are walking. We need to make sure that we meditate on the law of the Lord. Because if we meditate on the word, you will live a life according to His will and not your own. You will build up people with your words and you will love them. You will build relationship with people through love and not through status. You will open up your house to be with His people and to love them, not to just entertain them. You will serve His church because you follow His way of doing things and not out of compulsion. You will share the good news with other people with the hope that their lives will change the way that your life has changed. And that's where I'm going to land this. If you've given your life to the Lord and you are meditating on His word, your life should change. Not just once, continuously. Every day, something in you changes. Sometimes it takes a week, sometimes it takes a month, sometimes it takes a year or more. But we change because we give it over to Him. And as we walk, we make sure that we follow the Holy Spirit. Not the other way around. Not the Holy Spirit following us where we go, making sure we're okay. Yeah? We follow Him. Because then we will be okay. Let's close our eyes. Lord, thank You so much that we have Your word that we can meditate on, Lord. That we can read to understand, read to fill our minds. We can pray about it. We can pray from it. Lord, thank You so much for Your word, for Your way of life that You've given to us to read and to understand and to follow, Lord. And I pray that as we spend time in Your word, that it will come alive to us, that You will be alive to us, that we will be able to hear Your voice through Your word. That You'll speak to us, Lord. I pray that each one of us will change as we read Your word. That there will be a transformation of our lives, Lord. That we will be able to love people the way that You love them. that we will open up our houses and say, come into my house. I don't want to entertain you. I want to love you. I want to spend time with you and build a relationship with you so that we can walk in the more of the Lord. I pray that each one of us sitting here this morning, Lord, will be closer with you when we spend time in the Word. That a sermon, a YouTube sermon, won't be enough. A Sunday sermon won't be enough. A podcast won't be enough, because we want to meet with you personally. Lord, give us a hunger to read your Word. Give us a hunger to spend time with you, to pray and be with you when we're alone, so that when we're with other people, we are able to show and to give the more of you, Lord. I pray that we will be kept safe, our thoughts will be kept safe, and we will be able to think more of you, less of ourselves, Lord. Amen.